Before we get started, you know, today's not the actual observance, but let's not forget all of the men and women that went before us and gave us the freedom that we enjoy today. Thank you for your service, those of you that are in here today. Thank you. I mean, it seems like such a small thing to say, but when Jesus even tells us, just be thankful. Maybe that's enough, but again, thank you. Maybe thank an individual when you see him tomorrow, today. Maybe pay something forward out in the coffee line at Ziggy's or Starbucks or something if you see one. But let's never forget that great sacrifice that was made going back, way back, not just recent. So, Father God, thank you for all the men and women. All gave some, as they say, and some gave all. Thank you for the ones that gave all, Father. Thank you for the ones that have come back and don't have much left to give. Just somehow, some way, touch them. Speak to their hearts. Speak to the families. And those of us, Lord, that sit here enjoying that freedom, I just ask that we would never forget. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to be in the book of James, chapter 1. If there was ever a time I wanted to call in sick, today was the day. Pat will attest to that. Only because it's, you know, I don't know about you. I don't have problems when somebody tells me something that's not true in my life, let's say. I can laugh and say, okay, that's your opinion. But when Pat tells me the truth of what I should be doing and what I'm not doing, that's when my Irish comes up. And God has been working on me pretty heavily in this last month or so that my Irish is not an excuse for my attitude. Amen. My circumstances are not a reason why I've lost my temper or my attitude. There's no reason now that I'm in Christ. It happens, yeah? Does anybody not have a problem with anger? Okay, you do have a problem with lying then, and I'm going to go ahead and pray for that first. No, it's something that I believe hits all of us in our humanness, but it's not an excuse, and we're coming to a point, and I feel in our lives and the time that we exist in right now, that time is short, and we should try to get as much together as humanly possible before we stand before our Lord. There will be no excuses for Doug Gibney in front of the Lord. I can't say this bothered me, that bothered me, he or she did this or that, when God has already told me what it is that he requires. So somehow today I want him to speak to your heart the way he's been speaking to me. You know, to stand up here and try to impart a lesson, I want to use caution on today's text because I, for one, have not got it down. I'm almost embarrassed at times the way that my old man rises up, how it comes out within our study of anger and whatnot today, and I hope it goes through the rest of the week. Be careful. It's not just because some of us have the ability to be quiet, don't we? Can really hold it in, and sometimes even our facial expression doesn't show that we're seething. And there's anger, there's a thermos, a boiling, an anger that starts in here, and you feel it. Those of you who are aware of this know what that is. And it increases as we allow it to grow, ferment in our gut to a point where it comes up as orge. It comes out in violence of speech, words that hurt that can never be taken back. But I think it goes beyond that. If we are those that have that ability of squashing it a little, but in here, we're still saying, oh, I'd like to blah, 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 blah. God is listening. Yes. Man, that hit me this. I've been trying to follow his ways for what, 45 years now? And I just look at how how much of that old man is still in there that wants to rise up in little ways. So if you have this problem today that we're going to hear God speaking to us, forget what Doug is saying, if you would. Concentrate on this section of scripture. Look at it over and over this week. Ask God, what is it that you're showing me? Forget about what you're showing, you know, trying to show Doug, or, you know, I can name names here. Forget about that. What are you trying to put into my life before my time is gone? I might be a little scattered today. We've had one of those weeks that my niece's husband, Pete, some of you know Pete Kelly, Pete went into eternity Friday from a massive heart attack. Pat and I put an end to 45 years of caretaking one of the most beautiful ranches in Colorado, Arapahoe Ranch, and we are now registered Flatlanders, loving all the things called restaurants that they have down there. It's like, are you kidding? Anything, if you want food, it's like this close everywhere. Anyhow, let's get on with God's word, but please, those of us that are in here that know Cindy, my sister's daughter, today's beyond hard. One of the girls is graduating high school. The other one's in her senior year of college. And those of us who have lost some loved ones, there's no word for the pain, but there's prayer, and there's plenty of prayer. So last week we left off with I won't bore everybody again with my verbal violence at the bowling alley. And if you don't remember it, don't ask anybody about it. But what God has been showing me, and I hope he shows all of us, is that my attitudes at times, because see, sometimes it doesn't just have to be violent anger. It could be attitude, just the way we are, the anger and whatnot that is in there, but there's something, that's it, I'm done. I've had it. Forget all these ways that it expresses. What God has been showing me is, Doug, that doesn't show, number one, my nature, my character to anybody. That's embarrassing at times, because sometimes my Irish and my rationale that I have in here says, oh, yes, but he made me do that. She made me do that. The situation made me do that. What about the Holy Spirit that indwells me? Does he not have that kind of power to restrain Doug from doing anything that is not Christ-like? And I want to believe yes is the answer. So James is warning these early believers, these converts to Christianity, how to control their nature, how to control their conduct, and how to act in front of people, which is not just for that time. We've said for years that this Bible, this word, is specific to certain things. It's not always to us, but it's for us. But there's an application of every one of these verses that we're going to read to our lives all through the Word of God. So let's jump into James chapter 1. We'll start in verse 19. We left off last week with the fact that we should be the first fruits, images of Christ when people look at us. And I know I left off with a question that was more so to me, what do people see when they see you? Plain and simple. Do they see Doug the pastor? Do they see Doug the Christian? Do they see Doug the great-grandpa? Do they see Doug the angry Irish ex-cop from New York? What do they see? It's time to be honest. And we're going to see that God is trying to express that to us this morning. So James 1, 19 through 26, I don't think we'll hit all of it, but 19 says, wherefore, so everything that went on before this, let's give another look at what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I believe this is to us, isn't it? Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Isn't that beautiful in the King James, even from a New Yorker? That just rolls off your tongue, right? filth. I don't know, what does your translation have? Moral filth, wickedness, moral filth. And receive with meekness, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, kind of a play on words there, perfect law of liberty, of freedom, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Father God, help us to have open ears right now and hear what it is you're saying to each one of us, as we are, Father, to be a kind of first fruits of Christ, a safe harbor to people that are out there just drowning, floundering, Lord. May we just take on that nature, Father, that should be ours by now. Casting off, as we're hearing today, all those things that are not of you, Father. And we can do this by the power of your Holy Spirit. The only retainer would be that we don't want to do it, and we're not about to do it in our stubborn pride. So we ask these things in Jesus' name, and thank you for your mercy on us, Lord, as you continue to love us and guide us through this thing called life until that day you call us all home. So again, open our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this instruction that we're having here in 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath, slow to anger. I believe, you know, it's two things. I believe James is giving us this, and he's speaking of our attitude towards God first and foremost. And we think, wow, isn't this just like when I deal with Ted or Nate or Tom or Dan? You know, no, it's with God, because everything I do as a Christian, if we're in Christ, is done before God and to God. Any sin I commit it to God first. Then the trickle-down theory is it hits whoever might be in our area at the time. So I believe James is saying to me, Doug, put your name in there. Be swift to hear what God has to say to you. Stop letting our ears get plugged up by the noise of this world. Stop right away with my excuses of why I can't. You know, I'll read a David Wilkerson article and paddle a test there. Sometimes I throw it down on the chair. And Pat goes, what's the matter? You didn't like what he said? I said, no, I love what he said. I just don't want to do that, you know? I know it's so true. And yet it's not that I can't do it. It's that right now it's going to interfere with really what I want to do and the direction I want to go. So first of all, James is speaking, I think, to our attention to God and his word and what he's speaking to us, not what somebody else is. And then it comes down to that. I should be, as that says, swift to hear what everybody says. I mean, how many of us, again, if we're honest, somebody, hi, how are you doing? And you say, do you really have the time to hear how I'm doing? You know, I mean, Taffy is openly honest, because when we ask people that sometimes, hey, how's it going? How you doing? They start, you're going, oh gosh, oh, why did I ask? You know, you think that's a problem? You ought to, I got a cut back here from barbed wire. We go on and on, and we're not hearing what people say. And I feel God is saying, Doug, put a time clock. Put a time clock on how much you talk. Look at this, again, two eyes, two ears, one mouth. Put a time clock when other people, or when God especially, is talking to us. Am I swift to hear? Am I compassionate? I don't have to agree with everything, but do I have that compassion of Christ to listen to what somebody is trying to say to me so that then maybe I can formulate an answer? But usually the poor person is still speaking and we've already got the answer, waiting for that person to take a breath, a pause, so we can jump right in and fill in all the blanks. That hit me hard this week. Swift to hear God's instruction. So see how much we really listen. See how much we always hear what the person is saying and check ourselves. Are we preparing a response while this person is still speaking to us? Am I already there somewhere else where I want to go with it? And I think if we would be swift to hear what God says, get the noise out, get the excuses out, I think we could be a little bit further in our maturity and our growth in Christ. He says, slow to speak. Slow to speak. Be careful. How many times do you hear within your heart, don't say that? Don't say that. Pat and I have been married, what, 56 years or something? I still don't have it down. There's times I can just keep it quiet. But all of a sudden, after 15, don't say that. Don't go there. That's God speaking to me. That's not bug face putting that in my heart, is it? No, God's just saying, no, don't. But yet I do it anyhow. And then I say, oh, it's because, you know, whatever the reason might be. God is telling us today, be slow to speak. Mark my words. Mark everything I'm going to say. Do they bring grace to the hearer? Do they speak to God and man both ways of something is different about this individual and the way that they conduct their lives? That's what people are out there looking for. And then on the third one is slow to wrath, slow to anger. And I feel it's a problem we all have. I think James even had that problem. He speaks about that so much in here, and I'm not going to try to fill everything in because we got chapter 2 and chapter... He's talking about anger and our speech and how that is. He must have had a problem. First-hand information sometimes is always best that you can deal with people. People that don't have that problem, it's hard sometimes. But I feel James knew what he was talking about. I mean, we read in Mark, we read in John. He had a problem with his own brother thinking that he was divine, right? And I'll bet you that welled up in him at times, that here's my brother thinking that he's God. What kind of anger came there? Even if it was a thought, remember that. It doesn't have to be verbal. Our anger can be mental, just like our adulterous thoughts and everything else are the same as doing it in Christ's mind. We got to stop doing it our way is what God is telling me. Stop doing it your way. Let's really kick in and do it my way. Man, it's going to be rough. But God wants my obedience. And for you, I'll just share this. Maybe turn to Psalm 37. And you deal with the Lord this week and see where he takes you. Anger. Instead of excuses, see, I have my partner, I've told you that story a million times. He told me I was an expert at rationalization when I was on the force. And it wasn't a compliment. It was an insult. I had a reason for everything, why I did it and how it was to come out, blah, blah, blah. Here's what God says about my anger. 37, I believe it's 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Not me saying that. It's not Calvary Chapel of Netherlands doctrine. God is saying, cease from anger. Cut it out. Quit. Stop. How many of us need that word? Like my father just telling me, my father used to tell me, shut up and listen to yourself. Teddy and I used to laugh thinking, how are you going to do that when we're in the middle of ranting, raving, you know, bad mouth? And he'd say, shut up and listen to yourself. And I get it now. Do you hear what you were saying? Did you hear how you verbally just cut that person apart? Do you hear what you're responding to God for a reason for why you're doing these things? God is saying, stop it. Ecclesiastes, as we're going to turn back, there's another one in there. Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7. In verse 9, be not hasty in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Ouch! God just called me a fool. Really? And that's okay. He's my father. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. It's time for me to understand that my anger Your anger, if somebody's getting angry that I'm talking about your anger, you're a fool. That's who we are in God's eyes. He wants better from us. He expects more from us as his children. So cease from it. How? I don't know how you're going to do it. I'm trying my best. I'm trying like crazy. Every day there's an opportunity for me to lose my temper, to be angry, to say something that I don't want to say, and I say it anyhow. I'm working through it, and the only answer to the completion of it is God's mercy. Don't give up. Don't give up. How many times will he forgive me when I mess up? Truly repenting, though. Too many times, repentance, you know, this is repentance, right? Too many times what we do is we repent, and we just come right back to it again. God is saying, cease that. Let's get moving. He lives within us, and he can do this for you and I. Because when I take control, it doesn't look very good. So let's go back to James. Doesn't look very much like Jesus to others, I'll bet, when they watch us. And trust me, people watch us. People want to hear something from us. People want to see something from us, that we're different. Don't give fuel to that fire that you're just like everybody else. It's just, is my religion, is my faith, is it real? And we're going to be getting to that if I can get to it. In verse 20, we had that last week, kind of took forward. You know, my anger, it says, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. My anger, my attitude, my griping, moaning, cussing, whatever it might appear like in your life, that is not God. That's the father of lies, telling us that it's okay, God will forgive you, don't worry about that, just go on. Oh, everybody else is doing it, right? So-and-so does it. Oh, so-and-so is even worse than me. God's saying, this is not my righteousness that I'm trying to work in you and through you. So in 21, he says, wherefore, because of that, because of this anger, and I hope you'll all do a study on your own and look into that to the degree that you deal with it. But James is saying in 21, wherefore, because of everything I just said, lay apart all filthiness. The moral filth, get rid of it. Lay it apart. Strip it off. It's not mess with it. It's not prune it a little bit. It's not, well, today I didn't get mad three times, and next week I might only do it. He's saying strip it off. Rip it off. Anybody, Danny, you've changed oil in your life. I'm sure some of us have. You ever lay underneath a car not having the benefit of a lift, and all of a sudden the plug just goes, and out it comes, and you've got 2-3 quarts of oil on your chest. Do you just say, oh, it didn't hurt, I'm bad, and then just lay there? No, you rip that off, because it will affect your skin. It'll affect your health, you know, if you just leave it there. Rip it off, get it off. And that's what God is saying right here. Do the same thing with this worldly filth that so easily besets us. It's like Hebrews 12, where it says, you know, wherefore, laying aside every sin and the weight that so easily besets us, it's time to strip it off, not mess with it, not play with it, and not make excuse for it. Because this word, and it's God's word, it's not a counselor. Forgive me if there's any counselors out there, unless it's godly counsel. No counselor is going to help you. No program is going to help you. No amount of willpower that you try to squinch it down. It's going to be God and his word that is able to save our souls. The only name under heaven by which a man or a woman must be saved. This word is so rich, so real, and yet we treat it so flippantly. What can I do? Not what Doug wants you to do. Not what Calvary Chapel demands that you do, because we don't have membership anyhow. So a lot of churches will say, you act like this, you do this, you do this, you do this, or else you don't belong here. I wonder if we've done a mistake, and that's not the way to put it, done a disservice to God by allowing and disallowing certain things in our congregations. The only thing we should allow is God's word. The other things we disallow because God said not to. We try our best to do it. And then we help one another get through this. How? By God's word. We sit. We disciple. We have accountability. We have church disciplines. We don't do that anymore. And I feel that because of that, a lot of us, myself included, we start going our own way after many, many years. And the old man starts creeping back in. So I ask, what can I do? It's all in there. The very next statement that he makes when I ask that question is, here's your answer, Doug. Verse 22, but be doers of the word. Do it. Just do it. Nike didn't, you know, look, they capitalized on just do it. God said this first. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So when we hear this word, and I walk out the door, and I do what I please when I'm out there, and think and speak the way I do, I'm deceiving myself. Really? But I'm saved. Yes, I'm saved. I don't believe we can lose our salvation. I mean, we could sit and talk all day if you want. I did nothing to get it except to say thank you and receive it. I can do nothing to lose it. But I'm deceiving myself as far as my maturity in my faith if I go about my own way and just hear this word and not be doers. We sit in pews Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and I've said this, myself included, where sometimes we're just pew pigeons, aren't we? We hear that word, and it's great. Doesn't it rise up in you that this is true? Ooh, and we go, whoa. You ever see a pig? Boy, I got pigeons down in Firestone now that I don't care to take the ranch anymore. In New York, we used to take care of pigeons. But I want to be more than a pew pigeon. I don't want to just sit there and nod and say, yeah, yeah, that's it. That's what I want to do. And God's saying, okay, then do it. Do it. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word, verse 23, and not a doer. So we take the word in, but we know, don't do that, don't say that, don't go there, do this. Go give that guy a cup of coffee. Go say hello to that person. Ask that person if I can pray for you that, gee, there's something wrong with that one. Go over. When I don't do that, when I just hear God, it says he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself, goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. So the women aren't out on this. We're all included in this. God's word is not only, it's a lamp unto my feet in dark places, isn't it? It'll light up where we're supposed to go. God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword, isn't it? It cuts right down, and that's the cut that we need so much, a surgical cut. But it's also a mirror into our lives. God's word is a mirror for you and for me. And I don't know about you. Did anybody stand in front of a mirror this morning? Come on. Nobody? Didn't look in there? I mean, this is showing Doug Gibney. And what I was asking that for is when I went to the mirror, there was nobody else in the mirror but me. I was in the bathroom. I'm going to shave, trim the mustache a little bit. Got hardly any eyebrows or hair left. I'm trying to fix what I had left. That looks pretty good. And then you put on a shirt, right? And you put that on and you say, does that look presentable? Pat will say, back in, change it. We can't miss this in God's word, that it's a mirror to my soul. And not somebody, like I said, there's nobody in line behind you in your bathroom mirror or your living room waiting. Come on, hurry up. I got to take a look at myself, see what I look like. It's me and me alone in that thing. And that image should be that I look like my father. People tell me, oh, you look just like your dad. Oh, you should have seen John when he was this age or that. I want to look like Jesus, you know? I can't grow my hair anymore or my beard, and that has nothing to do with looking like Jesus, but it's just something that will reflect like that mirror that we all stand before. So stop looking for somebody else in that mirror. God is talking to me through this word, and he's saying, Doug, just do it. Don't be just a hearer. Don't just walk away forgetting what you have on, because anger affects this too, is what it's in that context. I don't know if some of you remember, but Pat and I had a major blowout one morning about something. I can't remember. So petty. But I got up here and I went to step off the pulpit here area, and I had one black cowboy boot on and one brown lizard boot on this foot. I was so tweaked in anger that morning when I went in the closet. I just put my boots on and I'm so fed up and whatever it was. And there were two different boots. Do you remember that? It was like God just went, you know, do you see? Now, if I would have looked in that mirror and saw that, would I have said, well, I'm just so angry, Pat, I'm wearing two different boots. She might have known it that day and let me do it. I don't know. But again, take this, if you would, to your attitude, character, during those hard times, because that's usually when anger comes in. It's a mirror to our soul. Well, verse 25 is the what's in it for me, when we always either outwardly or inwardly say, well, why should I, or what's in it for me? I think God's answer comes in verse 25. He said, but whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, into that mirror of God that he's reflecting, this image of who we are, it says, if I look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein. This isn't just one day, guys. The good news is this is until we are at our last breath, continually. How long is this going to go on? How long are these trials going to last? How long is this going to happen in my life? It's going to happen until God calls us home, period. Whether it be by the rapture of the church, which I believe is so close, it's crazy, or natural, whatever it might be, but it's a continuation until that day. And being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man will be blessed in his deed, in my labors, in my work, in my reaching out, in my whatever I'm doing on the course of an average day. People are going to see Jesus because we are supposed to be his image. I'm struggling in areas. Some of you know that. But God can get us past that struggle. My struggles are not your struggles, but your struggles are just as powerful in your life as what Pat and I are struggling with in our lives. I think we have to understand that each one of us is struggling in some area that causes us maybe not to look like Christ right now, speak in a way that might not sound like his word, and love one another as he loves us through it. Embrace one another a little bit more. Don't say, oh, I know what you're going through. Don't say that. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. That's one of the things that brings up anger. That's one of those things you have no clue. Your trial is your trial. My trial is my trial. Yours is yours. But let's understand that if we hold on to one another, and we understand the battle of the flesh and the spirit that is going on at this time, and it's going to rev up in these last days more than we ever thought possible, I think we can go through this stronger than we're entering in. So take a look in God's mirror this week, and maybe it's just fix. If you're wearing two separate shoes, put the right ones on. You know, if your pants don't look right, change them. If your spirit isn't right, ask God what I should put on. If the speech isn't good, ask God, help me with this. You know I'm struggling. He knows we're all struggling. And I wanted you to, I hate kind of putting some of my thoughts onto you, but watch how many times you look at yourself this week, physically. Just try to keep a mental, you'll look in the mirror. I used to like the Orchid Pavilion in Boulder. I'll end it here. Because inside it had, it wasn't a two-way glass, but it had this aluminum on the window to keep the sun from coming in. You couldn't see inside the Orchid Pavilion down there on Pearl Street, but you could see from inside out beautifully. And people would walk by there, and I'd love that table right by the window because people would walk by and and they had no idea that people were sitting there looking at them. God is looking at me. God is looking at me every day, saying, you're looking a little better, but we got to tune this up. I can fix that if you give it to me. I'm going to end with that. And maybe next week we're going to look at the importance of how we receive God's word. And I'd ask you to go and look into Matthew 13 with the seed, the parable of the sower. Because we're going to look at the soil of our life. How is that soil? Is it cluttered? Is it cloudy? Is it committed? You know, God is showing that this is what I'm planting my seed in. And I've got to look at that soil. And soil can always be rejuvenated. It can be fertilized. It can be added to. Don't give up is what I'm trying to say. So what? We've messed up all the way up to this morning. God can fix whatever we've messed up starting today if we give it to him. Don't give up. Don't give up. Can I have one more? Turn to John. Yeah, we'll get the parable of the sower next week, and we'll look at the building our house on rock or sand. John chapter 2. It seems so hard, doesn't it, to do those things that Christ is asking each and every one of us. And a verse came to me this morning from the lips of the mother of Jesus. And if we look, I don't want to tell the whole story, but John chapter 2, verse 5. This is when Jesus told them to fill up those water jugs with wine, remember? Seemed impossible. We weren't talking about a water jug. Like I watered the flowers this morning when we came in with a little quart pitcher jug. We had stone, wine, water pots, and wine, giant things that these servants had to labor probably to fill that thing up. It seemed foolish to them. Things that God is going to say to us this week seem foolish to us. But Mary made this statement in verse 5. Said, his mother said unto the servants, and that's what every one of us are. We're a servant, bought with a price. Glorify God in our bodies, our soul, spirit, thoughts, everything that we've got. I'm not my own. I'm not my own. I'm not Doug Gibney of whoever he was. I'm Doug Gibney, the son of God, the child of God. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. Wow. It's like my old man used to say, we say, why, Dad? Because I said so. That was all you had to hear from the old man, and you went about your business. Just do it this week. Let's try it. Let's at least some of us, and I'm not asking for signups, let's just try to be obedient in our hearing and doing, in our words of anger, or in our way we speak to our friends or spouse. Let's just try it and see what happens. Give it a try. It's easy. And then I think once we see that kind of change, not only in our own life, but maybe in the lives of the brothers and sisters that we sit here and know all of the warts and freckles and everything, maybe it'll go through this body like COVID did, you know? It'll infect all of us. I want more of Jesus. I want to be, how did that happen in your life? And we just watch a whole different thing starting to happen here in Netherlands. This town needs Jesus. I need Jesus. We always say they, he, she. I need Jesus as much as I need my next breath. And when I understand that, look out, world. Here we come. Amen. Father, thank you. Help us process, Lord. Help us take all of this before this seed snatcher comes and tries to take it away, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and we'll worship the Lord.